The finance meeting of February 24th, 2015, to order. The time is now 1:35. Present is councilpersons Kilpatrick, Bell, Collins, Cartier, Diller, Retta, and Councilman Smiley, co-chair of finance. First item on the agenda, what's your pleasure with the minutes of February 10th, 2015?
So moved. Second.
Motion to approve and second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nobody? Okay, the minutes are approved. First on the agenda is R15-050, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Department of Public Safety for purchase of software. Product First Watch plus 1 year additional maintenance in the amount of $140,906. This is needed in order to interface with Priority Dispatch Corporation software for EMS, fire, and police dispatching. And what else? The requisition is to purchase the necessary licenses required to allow instant access to this vital information once the call for service is entered into our 911 CAD system. I will ask the Does anyone want to briefly comment?
Yes, please. Thank you. Jeff Miller.
Thank you for your comments.
Excuse me. So, First Watch is a analytics database that allows us to monitor basically what we're doing when we're doing it, rather than collect data in our CAD system, run it through some data warehousing at a later date, even the next day or the day after, and find out like the Colonel's TAPS program. So an example that I will use is when we're taking information from our crawlers about illnesses, we could better target where flu is breaking out or any other kind of outbreak within Newcastle County. A good example would be the Colonel went from quality of life type crimes to focusing on property crimes. We could actually make triggers in this program to say, looking specifically for property crimes rather than waiting to the next day to find out where were all the property crimes, we'll be able to map them while the 911 call operator is actually on the phone. So the dispatcher will be able to sit back and look and go, hey, we have three of the exact same type of crimes in progress right at this moment. It'll be greatly beneficial. Additionally, Sussex County 911 Center uses the same product, so we'll be able to share information with them as well.
Any questions, comments, members of the council? Members of the public? Okay. Next on the agenda, ordinance number 15-008, an act to amend section 2.03.004 of the Newcastle County Code to change the fees for the recorder of deeds of Newcastle County. Mr. Kosakowski is ill. I had a discussion with a staff person today, so, and I told him I really didn't see the need where they would need to be here. I would just give you a brief part, just a part of the letter, because he writes as long as he talks. It says, since 2006, the Recorder of Deeds has prepared a cost fee comparison to documents to dollars recorded with various counties and tri-state area. In Pennsylvania, Chester, Lancaster, Delaware, Montgomery counties, in the state of New Jersey, Somerset County, and in the state of Maryland, Montgomery County, in the state of Delaware, Kent, and Sussex. Every fiscal year since 2006, Recorder of Deeds operating budgets have provided this important quantitative and qualitative information to the county executive. Due to increase in revenue and documents recorded and estimated at 14% for FY 2015, and evaluation of cost comparison fee schedule over the past 9 years, Recorder of Deeds has determined that the increases are needed. All right. Any questions from Councilman Rudd?
Just a comment. All these different counties that we keep comparing ourselves to, whether they're in New Jersey or Maryland or Pennsylvania, their tax base is different than ours. I believe we have one of the lowest taxes around in the tri-state area, and these different counties, they're based on their state taxes as well as their county taxes, in which they pay more. So the comparison of everything that goes on in these different counties of what these people are paying compared to what we are paying in taxes, because that's our revenue for the people. And I just tired of hearing this all the time.
I understand. It just, if I may, the only difference here is always comparing is Recorder of Deeds office and services to Recorder of Deeds office and services.
As long as they keep doing that, that's fine.
Yes.
When they start comparing the dollars and cents that the other counties pay compared to what the Delaware areas pay.
That's what this is. Okay. Any questions from the public? Okay, hearing none. Next on the agenda, R15009, to abate tax penalty on 247 Steeplechase Circle, tax parcel number 08031101128. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This gentleman paid his taxes on August 30th, 2014, a month before the due date. Didn't find out until October 21st that they did not receive the payment, and that's when he received the second bill for the taxes and the late payment. I have, and I can pass around, a copy of the letter from the bank showing that he actually put a stop payment on the original check once he found out that the county had not received it. And it also states on the bottom that he had sufficient funds at the time within the account. Nellie went through this and she talked to finance and asked about having it abated under 1405.002c5, which states where the property owner can provide adequate documentation that the effort to pay was made. She also looked at 1405.002a7, which states where the taxable can prove to the satisfaction of the CFO or designee that the taxpayer submitted timely payment to the county's vendor, but the vendor did not remit the payment to the county within the required time frame. And she was told that by finance that they were unable to administratively abate this due to section 1405.002b1, which states where a taxable claims his or her payment was submitted prior to the due date, but that payment was not received by the Office of Finance before the billing deadline for the purpose of this section, an account will be charged penalty unless payment is timely received by the Office of Finance. I thought we had changed some of this where they had the ability to administratively do this, and we weren't going to get all of these anymore. I have 12 that have now come through the office that Nellie is looking into to see if they fit under what the new ordinance was that we passed, a year ago or 9 months ago or whenever it was. So I'm asking under this ordinance, under 15009, which will be voted on tonight, if we can abate the taxes for this gentleman.
The penalty.
The penalty. Yes, I'm sorry. Oh. And the taxes have been repaid.
Yeah, I ran the check.
And they were paid the day after he received the notice saying that they didn't get them. He paid the taxes, not the penalty.
And for me, for the rest of the council, I want to thank you for this. As I said, you know, long ago, my big thing was making sure that the funds were there and available to pay the bill so that we know someone who's
right.
Not playing games with us. And you've done that for me. I will say there is another piece of legislation being introduced tonight to try to clarify what our intent was. I find it strange that we were receiving an occasional tax issue for abatement on penalties, and then we worked and tried to work with finance to do legislation to help clear that up, and all of a sudden it's like the floodgates open.
We get more. I know.
So,
I mean, between Tim and I know, we have 20 of them that have come over.
I don't have them, and I don't know what the reasoning is. But again, we have legislation to clarify. In addition, looking at what has come forward, part of that legislation, I urge everyone to please read it, is looking to bump the allowable amount up to 500 rather than the 100 to try to hopefully have finance do this, because they got to be spending more time going through this and kicking it back to us and answering questions that it would take to do it. So all I can say is, as I said back when we did the last piece, if it doesn't work, we'll keep going back and try to work at it. The only thing I can say is, Mr. Koop, you're here. Mr. Milligan, if there's something that we're not seeing, please send the co-chairs of finance or anybody you care to send to over here your suggestions to help make the path easier to prepare these. Councilman Cartier.
I'll yield to the council, and then I'll have a question.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Carol Dolan, council. Mr. Smiley, or Council Member Smiley, had asked me to look into that, and I know that there was some confusion over the two pieces of legislation that council passed and how to interpret it. And he, I believe, wisely decided that it would be simpler just to to clarifying legislation. The only point I wanted to make is the reasons for abatement that are in the code have been there for a decade or more and have been updated. Councilmember Tack had added an additional reason that they could abate without coming to county council up to $100, and that's what I believe. So the $500, I just wanted to clarify before that becomes confusing. The intent of that is if numbers 1 through 8 are not met, an additional reason to abate would be if equity dictates up to $500. It is not a limitation on 1 through 8,
right,
which is, for example, a military family who's called to active duty has been there. Councilmember Hollins introduced that quite some time ago. That's always been there, and that would exceed $100 or $500 over and over again. So this, the $100 limitation and the $500 limitation was in conjunction with the other ones, and that's what Councilmember Smiley's legislation would clarify.
Just one moment, if we can, we're going to show Councilman Tackett is with us, and also clear record, Councilman Sheldon won't be making any of the committee meetings, and Councilman Weiner is running late. Councilman Cartier?
Yeah.
Councilman
Of course, in the tax receipts for the county, the bulk of these we receive, I assume, and it's probably the case, through the mortgage companies that are escrowing these funds and then forwarding it to the county, and therefore, that's where the bulk of the revenues come. Now, I don't know if that's done through an electronic transfer or whatever. And then we have these other cases where things were mailed, and either we've got an issue with a vendor or an issue with the department. I just really like to know, is this an issue with the vendor that we're using, but failing to process and forward these checks to us, losing them? Where is the hiccup here? Because when we get electronics funds transfer from all the people that are escrowed and have mortgages and all those tax receipts come, I assume, through an electronic transfer system, we don't really have problems. It's just this mailed stuff where we seem to have the big problem. So, maybe.
I think part of the problem, John, when I was finding out the answer, you're right, those are the checks, but since it never seems that anyone gets the check back,
right,
it's hard to tell. As I said before, I've got a pension check that's about 18 months out there now. It never showed up back in the pension fund. Never showed up in my house.
Do we accept electronic funds transfer from people that do not escrow their tax receipts? I mean, I can tell you, I can tell you the whole world. I mean, it seems like everybody's going on through their, personal bank and able to transfer funds electronically on the internet.
I do everything unless they charge me.
So, are we allowing people to do that apart from the escrow systems that we have?
Actually, the mail, of course, $500
And we got this done, you know, paved the road and taken care of.
Thank you. But, okay, and going back to trying to clear this up, I mean, we put in provisions so that the CFO can unilaterally do this, but as long as we have 1405.002b1, which says where a taxable claim is his or her payment was submitted prior to the date that the payment was not received by the Office of Finance before the billing deadline, and you can't, and you have to charge a penalty for that, they're never, as long as we keep that paragraph, how are they ever going to approve the abatement over there? Because that's their fallback. It's like, oh yeah, well it can fit, you know, all the rest of four or five of these criteria, but as long as it wasn't received prior to the date, they're going to kick it back to us.
I agree. I that's part of the, that's part of the, I guess, the legislation. That's where I'm back with, but they decide to not follow.
Right. And I think we need to make it clear, if I'm clear on this, that if there's five criteria under which they can abate the penalty, any one of those is good.
It's sufficient.
Not all five.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right. You only need to meet one of the
right.
criteria.
Right, right. Pardon?
Eight.
But we only need to meet one of them, no matter how many there are.
Thank you. Mike, when you were talking about the electronic, and you said whether it was received, are you talking about whether the vendor receives it, the county receives it, or what are you expressing there?
I guess I would have to say all of the above, because I'm not sure how they're being transmitted electronically. All I know is there is electronic transmission. Issues. Don't know whether it's on what end it's on, but there are issues, and they work them up, and it's chased.
What I'm saying is, too, is that and you're saying electronically, it received it at a reasonable amount of time or the right time without being penalized. If they do it electronically, usually it's done right then and there. I mean, within a couple of minutes. It doesn't take that long to get there electronically. And if it's within the time period of their date, how does that work?
Well, I don't know about the county. I know I make electronic payments and sometimes it's 3 days before it shows up and it's credited there.
That's because of the way the banks handle it, because it's just like it's a regular check that you write, it doesn't clear for a couple of days. That's why they do it that
seven
way.
Here.
Yeah.
At one point.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. At one point, I remember, I believe it was Denny Hardman that I talked to, and I wasn't seeing my tax on, you know, online, or when I go into the website, I wasn't seeing that it was showing as being paid, and it comes from the bank through an escrow account. And he said that we don't always get them in a timely fashion, and once we get them, we get a whole, you know, like pages of them, and then they have to be input. So, you know, depending on how fast the inputting is,
right,
you may not have it input prior to the date.
Right.
Because in my case, I mean, it came over maybe the day that it was due, but they never called it delinquent.
That's the mortgage company.
Correct.
Correct. The mortgage company payments are not the problem. The problem is the individual, and he said that electronic bill payment.
Before you respond, let's go to Councilman Taggart, because it may be wrong with this as well.
Oh, no, that's fine. It wasn't. Just case in point here, I had a little bit of conversation with Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and what I think we need to do is, if we're going to continue to process these small little claims like this, that we either just need to say it doesn't matter what it is, just let them process it. I mean, because where we're at with this, and this is what I've explained to the Councilwoman before, and like I said, I approached her on this before the meeting, but anybody can sit down and create a check registry, something to get lost. I mean, there's a lot of ways to be a little bit, you know, mischief in what you're presenting here. So I think we ought to just move to something and say, if it's under a certain amount and they show anything at all, just do it. Why do we need to set a criteria? Because we're still here. Constituents are still going to come. We're still going to be faced with presenting 100 and, you know, or, well, I guess maybe if we potentially this passes, maybe under 500 or something. But the amount of time that it takes to work them up and the constituent and advertising and back and forth, it just seems without any hard proof. If we're going to maintain that we want hard proof documentation somehow, either some kind of electronic, a stamped envelope, something like that, but if we can show, oh, it was just lost in the mail somewhere and we're going to go ahead and debate it and that's okay with us, then we need to just move to something that literally says that and gives them the permission to do it.
I don't think we've never proved that it was put in the mail, not put in the mail.
Right.
My only criteria that I want, because I don't want 50 constituents paying on time and one deciding to sit back and wait 6 months to send it and then say, oh, we're lost. The only criteria I held fast to for me was I want proof that when you say you sent that check on time, the funds were in your account and you've maintained funds in your account for that check to be good. That's the only criteria that I have. And that's what I've used in my judgment. I understand what you're saying. I mean, I got an audit from Highmark for relative bills the other day, and they audited 6 months worth of bills, and they found out that they overpaid the hospital a nickel here, 15 cents there. It probably cost them $2,000 to collect $37.50.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cooper?
I just want to say, you know, you can tell who the stockholders are. You can tell who is actually, you know, something got lost. You can tell them. It's easy to tell who the stockholders are. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of these ones like California Steel Patrick.
We will continue to try to resolve it, but the more input we can get from finance and say, here's your hiccup, another little bit. Anything from the public? Next, we have 15-011 to provide for the installation of Arlington streetlights in the Woodland Park subdivision located in Christiana 100 for a light tax based on the cost of said streetlights. And Councilman Warner Steve, we will have Mr. Lewis Kinkle.
Thanks, sir. I'll be very brief. This is as by title, sir. It's been reviewed by Department of Law. It's found to conform with the code. The proper forms were attached as well as the petition, and no objections by the community.
Any questions from council? Councilman Carter.
Just roughly, from my own knowledge, Woodland Park, where is that located? Like, can you general vicinity?
Up in Northern
Brandywine 100,
sir. It's kind of right on the cusp, just by your
district. Okay. Up by the border?
Yeah. It's
in the area of 1903 Falkland Road because they crossed it off of here. It's in the area.
Fair school.
It's on Center Road.
And you are? MapQuest. MapQuest Washington.
I was just released with Ferris School.
And I have family.
Oh, it's by Ferris.
I can tell you right where it is.
I think we're going to help you.
Sir, just for the record, it's in our district.
It's the dark area.
Yes, sir. It's in our district, sir.
Okay. Any further questions, Council? Anything from the public? Anybody need directions home? Yeah, we're good.
Don't get it from
me. Next, I needed a little bit of lightness today, I'll tell you.
It is, the last
is light. Next on the agenda is Council Grants, Greater Newark Baseball League, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I've come before Council the last couple of years to give this group, which is really well deserving. I'm working with a lot of kids who need some extra help. This year, $1,500 I'm proposing.
Motion for $1,500.
Second.
I was going to ask the council, well, I'll put in $200 too if they're looking for it.
As part of the 15 or to make it 7?
What do you want? Reduced or additional? Doesn't matter to me. Oh, wait a minute. We might have a snafu.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
it.
Yeah, that's true. So what, you want to just keep it clean and do 13 and 14?
Let's keep it clean and do 13.
Okay, 13 and 2. Yeah.
And then maybe we should double.
I will take a look at that other issue on the grant.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Okay, so the motion is for, just to get it on the record, for $1,500, $1,200 from Councilwoman Diller, and $300 from Councilman Tack.
No, he said $200. I'll do $1,300. He'll do $200.
I tried. You had to open.
I know.
She must want 100 some other time, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the record show. $1,500 for the Greater Newark Baseball League, not to be mixed with the Newark Baseball League. $1,300 from Councilwoman Diller and $200 from Councilman Taggart for a total of $1,500. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Okay. Anything for the expensive Avenue Roundtable? Anything under other? Okay. Under other, I have something very briefly. We had scheduled to have a presentation today on the county investment funds, but because of the snow and the request to put land use in and crunching the meetings, we changed that, and we will be having those that presentation on March 24th at that finance meeting. That will be all the investment funds. I just want to go on the record now. Finance and all the administration, everybody else out there. No doubt there's going to be questions. There are concerns. For me personally, if anyone feels that my questions are going to be political, come in here and discuss them with me in front of everyone. Don't go to the press. I got nothing political to gain, and I'm quite honestly tired of hearing every comment I have to freaking make being called political. I got no desire to go anywhere but where I am. So, the county executive, the CAO, anybody else, March 24th, 1:30, you want it political, bring it in here and be here when I ask my questions and they can all respond. So, a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?